Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible with you, stand to your feet. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. If you do not have your Bible, I believe that Shelley has the scriptures on the screen that you'll be able to follow along. We're going to read verses 9 through 21. Once we conclude reading this text, we're going to jump over to the book of Revelation chapter 12 and read a few verses out of there. But let's begin reading together out of Romans, the 12th chapter. We're going to read verses 9 through 21, and I'm going to be reading to you out of the New King James Version of the Bible. And this is where Paul is talking to us about how we should behave as a Christian. And I find it interesting that here we are 3 years into this journey. The first series that I actually taught on as the Well Fort Payne was True Christianity, and it came out of this passage of scripture, and the Lord led me back to it as I began to prepare and try to figure out what God wanted me to say to the church today. And so let's read Romans 12, 9 through 21 together as a church. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you." That's a hard one to read sometimes, but that's what the Bible says. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. But if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Go with me to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to read verses 7 through 12. I don't often share out of the book of Revelation, but I felt that this was fitting with what we're talking about today. And in verses 7 through 12 of Revelation chapter 12, this is the revelation that John received while he was banished to the Isle of Patmos and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Jesus showed up and gave him a vision and a revelation that we can learn from and we can see is even playing out even before our eyes. So let's read from Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 7. It says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought," but listen to this, "they did not prevail. Nor was any place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down.'" Listen to verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And the seal for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's eternal. It's full of life, able to instruct us, convict us, encourage us, and help us to stay on the right path. And so I pray that today you would anoint me with words that are not just from me or from man, but are from heaven to speak the truth of the word of God to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for being here so much. It's an honor every single Sunday morning to get to speak the word of God to you. And I intend to speak to you this morning on the topic, we will overcome. That's what the Lord dropped in my spirit, and I want to encourage you with today. It's my hope and it's my goal that when you leave here today, you would have the assurance, the knowledge, and you would be persuaded of the fact that we as believers in Christ Jesus, the children of God, who have been bought with the precious, incorruptible blood of Jesus and have surrendered our life to Him fully, knowing that He is able to keep us even until the day of Jesus Christ, that we will overcome against the enemy. We read in the book of Romans that we should not be overcome by evil, but we should overcome evil with good. We read in the book of Revelation that they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and loving not their lives unto death. So here's what I want you to do. Really quickly, I need some audience participation. Are you ready? You guys have not been so great at that so far. When Pastor Jeff was asking earlier, or when Tanner was telling, I thought it was a good joke, Tanner, and people weren't really receptive to it, but I need some audience participation. I need you to look to the person on your left and your right and tell them today, we will overcome. Say it. All right. Now I want you to say it like you believe it. Say, we will overcome. That's right. Now, not we might overcome, not there's a chance we'll overcome, not I hope we'll overcome, and definitely not we won't overcome, or I don't believe that we won't overcome, but I am telling you today, we will overcome. Demise and defeat are not your destiny. I speak that over you today because I believe that as a child of God, you aren't going under. You know why? Because you're under the blood of the Lamb. You're not going to go down, but you are going to grow. You're going to flourish. You're going to be successful. You're going to be effective. And I'm not just talking about in natural things. I'm talking about we are going to overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And I'll tell you this, as I look around and I survey the day and the age that we're living in. And listen, I grew up in the 90s, which now is starting to sound like a long time ago. And I grew up in the 90s, and the America that I grew up in is not the America that we're living in today. And I know many of you today may be a little bit older than me, and you can remember back into the 80s and the 70s and the 60s and the 50s. Some of y'all can remember the 40s, and that's impressive. I honor and salute you for that. And I think that as we look at the scope of things of where we are today, it's very easy to become discouraged and to begin to feel like we are on the defense and we're on the retreat. But listen, the book of Hebrews says we are not of those who draw back or to shrink back to perdition, but we believe to the saving of the soul. And so I believe today that even though what we're facing, it's daunting, it's big, it's large, evil men are waxing worse and worse, but not one ounce of the power of God has diminished or has lessened in any shape, form, or fashion, and we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Mankind may be perverted, it may be wicked, and it may be coming against us in ways that we couldn't possibly even imagine, and it seems like it's happening and it's getting faster and faster. But I'll tell you this, I still believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I still believe and have the assurance that God is for me and He's not against me. I still believe that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse even the most wicked sinner that has ever lived on the face of the earth. I still believe that darkness trembles and demons have to flee at the name that is above every other name, the only name by which men can be saved, and it's the name of Jesus Christ. I still believe in the power of the Holy Ghost and the healing touch of the Savior. I believe He can still deliver. I could believe He can still save. I believe what we sang earlier, He can still turn it around for the good. My mind is made up, my hopes are high, and I'm convinced of this. We will overcome. Now, let me start with this. The we and we will overcome is vital and it's important. You need to understand this. It's not just I will overcome. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, he who isolates himself seeks his own desire. Isolation is never a good thing. The Bible says two are better than one. It's important that we work together. The Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like the oil running down on the beard of Aaron and soaking into his garments. It's like the dew that descends upon Mount Hermon, for there God has commanded his blessing, life forevermore. There's something to be said about we. I need you and you need me. There are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. If we are going to overcome, then we're going to have to do it together. We're going to have to learn how to work together, serve together, love together, give together. We're going to have to come and be a part of unity. And some people don't want that. Some people don't want unity. They just want to do their own thing. And I've got my own relationship with God. And I'll go to church because it makes me feel better about myself. But there's something important about community and unity, that when we come together, what we could not do on our own, we now are able to do as we partner with God. And we all have one mind and one faith, and one baptism, and one Father, and one Lord of all who is in all, then we're able to walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. So I want you to get this today. Unity is necessary for victory. If there's something that you have not been able to defeat yet in your life, it's probably because you've been going at it alone. You need the help of God, and you need the help of your brother or your sister in Christ that will come alongside of you and will give unity, which will bring strength to you into the situation that you're trying to come against. So I want to show you this in Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, war had broken out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the angels of the devil, and they kicked him out of heaven. They whooped their tail. In fact, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning out of heaven. But the important thing that I want you to get is it says this, and they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They is a group word, okay? It says that they did it together. And I need you and you need me. None of us can do it apart from the blood of the Lamb and the help of others, okay? We need to realize our necessity for others, because isolation is a dangerous place to be. Two are better than one. In fact, it says over in the Old Testament, one of you shall chase 1,000, but two of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And so where do you get that kind of math? That's the kind of math I want to live in. If one's chasing 1,000, two are chasing 10,000, look at what we've got here today. If we actually came together and begin to focus on defeating and driving back darkness and wickedness and evil and overcoming evil with good. Instead of going, oh, it's just so bad, it stinks, you know, this is happening, that's happening, I don't like what's going on in Washington, I don't like what's going on in the schools. Well, what if two started chasing 10,000 instead of letting 10,000 chase us around? We started deciding we're going to overcome evil with good. We're going to rise up and we're going to combat against the enemy. Listen, I'm not pointing fingers at people today. The Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and with blood, but against powers and principalities. And so this is a spiritual battle that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about us drawing up arms and us going and marching in somewhere and beginning to throw violence around. I'm talking spiritually. We need to begin to overcome evil in our nation. We can do so much more together than we could ever do apart. Don't try to do it on your own. You may look at the world today and think, how can we make a difference? Look at us. Look at the Wellfort Payne. Here we are 3 years later. Look, we're just a small church. We're just a small group of people. I would remind you of Gideon, who was just a young man that was sitting in the winepress threshing wheat, hiding from the Midianites, and the angel of the Lord showed up to him, and he said, behold, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, who, me? He said, yeah, I'm talking to you. He said, no, you got it wrong. I'm from a half tribe. I'm the weakest clan, and I'm the youngest in my family. I think you've got the wrong guy. And the angel said, no, I know who I'm talking to. And he called Gideon. You know, not many mighty are called, not many noble are called, not many wise are called, but God has chosen to take the simple things of this world to confound the wise. You may look at Esther. She was a young woman that had no noble birth in her lineage, but yet she became the queen of the most powerful nation on the earth and actually saved the entire Jewish race from extinction. And so you may think, how could we do it? I'll tell you how we can do it. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony and loving not our lives unto death and by overcoming evil with good. Now, I can already tell that this sounds good, but you don't really believe it yet. And that's okay. We'll get there by the end of it. By the end of it, you'll believe it. It's okay. We're going to get there. We're going to do it together. How can we defeat darkness? How can we overcome? Let me remind you of something that Jesus said. With man, this is impossible. Yeah. And as long as we try to do it in our own strength, it will remain impossible. As long as we try to do it on our own, it will remain impossible. And if you're sitting here looking around going, I just don't know if we can do it. He's talking a good talk, but I just don't see it happening. Listen, then you probably won't see the overcoming of evil in your life. But even if it's two or three, where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus, he's there in their midst. And we're going to call upon the name of Jesus, and with his help, we will overcome the enemy and overcome evil in our community and in our generation. And we cannot neglect to work together. Now, I want to talk to you about something today when it comes to we will overcome. I want to talk to you about synergy. You familiar with the word synergy? Would you put that graphic up, Shelley? Synergy is defined as this. That means the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. What does that mean? That means that you may not be very significant on your own. I may not be very significant on my own because I can't do it. But when we come together, the whole becomes greater than the sum of the parts. So if you're trying to do it on your own, you're not going to have the strength, you're not going to have the knowledge, you're not going to be effective, you're not going to be able to do it. I can't do it on my own, but when we come together, the whole thing that is created becomes greater than the sum of the separate parts. I want to show you this in an example. How many of you are familiar with Clydesdale horses, the big, strong horses that pull things, okay? Put up that first one for me there, if you will, Shelley. One Clydesdale horse can pull 8,000 pounds of weight, which is incredible because they only weigh about 2,000 pounds, okay? So God gifted these horses with the ability. Now, each of these weights represent 2,000 pounds. One Clydesdale horse can pull 8,000 pounds. I just saw a video yesterday on YouTube. It was somewhere up north, and the UPS truck in the snow had slid off of the road, and two Clydesdale horses pulled the UPS truck out of the drift bank and back onto the road. It's absolutely amazing what these horses are able to do and what they're able to pull. They're just so strong, and they're so effective in what they do. And so you would think, well, if one can pull 8,000 pounds, then two of them should be able to pull 16,000 pounds, which is absolutely amazing. That's a lot of weight. But actually, when you get two Clydesdale horses together, they don't pull 8,000 pounds, they pull 24,000 pounds when you put them together. Because synergy means the whole is greater than the sum of the separate parts. Now, one Clydesdale working alone can pull 8,000. The other one can pull 8,000. But when you put those same two horses together, they're not able to pull twice as much, but three times the amount of weight that they could pull on their own. Now, it goes even further with one more. Two Clydesdales that have been trained and have worked together can pull 32,000 pounds because they've been trained. They are effective. They know how to work together. They have what we would call synergy. As they work together, they know one another's strengths, they know one another's weaknesses, and they're very smart animals, and they're able to work together. And so what they can pull, can you put that last one back up, please, Shelley? I'm sorry. What they could pull on their own of 8,000 pounds, because they have worked and trained together, they can now pull 32,000 pounds. I want to say this to you. When it comes to overcoming evil, we can't do it on our own. Amen. But when we have the unity of the Spirit, when we have the mind of Christ, the whole becomes greater than the sum of the parts. When you begin to use the gifts that God put inside of you, that's why it says the whole body working together in effective, what each joint supplies, we're able to be cause growth of the body in Ephesians chapter 4. So, talking about being trained together, this speaks to me about the two horses that have been trained together of coming together to church and hearing the word of God. That as we receive the word and we begin to be trained in righteousness and we hear what God says, what his will is for our life, how he wants us to live, that we might, if we came together, we might could do some good. But when we come together with the same mind and the same accord and the same hope and the same vision, that's why it's important to remind you that the vision of this church, the vision of this house, is to advance the kingdom of God by being passionate for God and compassionate towards man. And the only way that we're going to make that happen is if we work together. And so every time you come into church, you're coming to become more equipped, more prepared, more trained, so that what you could do on your own, you might have an 8,000 pound effective limit, but together as we get trained and we get equipped and we get the knowledge that comes through Jesus Christ and through his word, and we're all after the same vision and the same goal, we can do 32,000 pounds worth of effective weight. So how many of you, being honest, have something in your life that you want to overcome? Be honest, I have things in my life that I want to overcome. We all do. You know why? Because evil is bombarding our society. This nation, this community, our schools, the home, even the very biological makeup of man and woman is being attacked by evil. And I, for one, will not stand idly by and watch darkness overcome my family, my community, this church, and this nation. One of the best known quotes of all time is this: the only thing necessary in order for evil to prevail is good men to do nothing. They don't actually know who said it first. President John F. Kennedy attributed it to one writer, but they think it goes back even further. And the first place that they think that was ever stated was actually in a church meeting. As a pastor stood before a congregation, and he said, the only thing that's necessary in order for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Do you know why things have gotten like they have? Because there's a lot of good people that won't do anything. Listen, even demons believe and tremble and believe that God is real. But we have to put works to our faith. Faith with no works is dead. You can believe the truth of the gospel. You can believe the word of God, word for word, and every bit of it. But we've got to do something. Right. We can't just say, you know what? It's bad out there, but I'll just focus on just the fact that one day we'll all get to go to heaven. No, evil is prevailing because time after time, good people are not doing anything. We're just letting it happen around us. But I'm here to say and declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and as for me and this house, we will overcome. Now, if you want to be on that journey, praise God, we're going to do it together, but we will not be overcome by evil. We will overcome evil with good. In Romans chapter 12, Paul gives us the answer that we need on how to overcome evil. So if you would, turn back with me to Romans chapter 12. Because in this passage of Scripture, we read verse 21, he gives a command: do not be overcome with evil. Now, we have to understand that this is a command. This is, as he's giving parental oversight in the kingdom of God to the church that's in Rome, as the apostle, he's writing to them, and he says to them, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So we have to understand, this is not a suggestion. This is not something that he's saying we should consider nor think about. This is a commandment that he is giving to the body of Christ. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, the great thing about God is he will never tell you to do something that he will not empower you and grace you to be able to walk out and do. He will not command what you are not able to perform through the power of his Holy Spirit. And so Paul said, do not be overcome with evil. Now, he's speaking as a father. Now, it's Father's Day, and good fathers instruct their children. I'll also say this: good fathers tell their children no. Good children learn by having a good father that will tell them, help them, and instruct them, and will say things like, don't touch that. Why? Because they don't want their child to have any fun? No, I tell my children, don't touch the stove, because I know that the stove produces heat, and heat will burn their hand, and the burn on their hand will inflict pain upon their body and could actually impair them and hurt them for life. Good fathers say, don't run into the road. Good fathers say, don't do this, don't do that. And so as a father, Paul is writing to the Romans. He's saying, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Good fathers say things like, don't talk that way to your mother. Good fathers say things like, don't say that again, don't do that again, don't look at me like that, boy. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Half of parenting is just looking at your children until they act right. You know, you just look at them. I know you know better. And then they'll finally straighten up. Paul said, do not be overcome with evil. What's he saying to them? Make up your mind. Make a decision. Resolve within yourself. We will not be overcome by evil. Evil will not overtake my house. Evil will not have a place in my mind. I will not entertain it. I will not give it a right or give it a pass into my life. My children will not be overcome by evil. My marriage will not be overcome by evil. My church will not be overcome by evil. Fort Payne, Alabama will not be overcome by evil. And I even feel like I can say America will not be overcome by evil if good people will do what we're supposed to do. How do I know that? Because we have a promise from God. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will heal their land. Guess what? We are those people. Yeah. We can't be looking for somebody else to do. Oh, you're right, Pastor. Evil triumphs when good men do nothing. We are the good men. We are the good women, and we have to do something about it. We can't just expect somebody else to do it. Well, if we get another godly man in the Oval Office, if we get another godly person in the governor's seat, if we get it. No, no, no. We have the ability in Christ Jesus to walk in the authority that he has given us and to overcome evil with good. Now, how do we make that a reality, where he says, do not be overcome with evil. I don't think there's anybody in here today, because I don't think you'd be here if you really didn't feel this way. I don't think there's anybody in here today that if I said, how many of you want to be overcome with evil, that you'd just be like, yeah, me, I would love to be overcome by evil. I know that that's not our desire. That's not our hope. That's not our goal. That's part of why you're here today. So I know that this is in your heart, but how do we overcome evil? We do it with good. It's as simple as that. He said, do not be overcome evil with evil, but instead overcome evil with good. Here's what I want you to see today. Good will snuff out the evil. So let's not focus on the evil. Let's focus on the good. And here's the cool thing. It's not even a fair fight, right? We have God. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so why would we be fearful about trying to overcome evil? Why does that seem like such a daunting task when it's like Alabama playing Fort Payne High School in football? I mean, it's not even a contest, right? Like, they're not even on the same playing field or the same level. Actually, it's more like an NFL team playing a peewee team. Like, we cannot lose if God is on our side. And so it's not even a fair fight. That's why I can say with confidence, we will overcome. In fact, I believe we're already overcoming. It's a process that we're walking in, and as we continue to walk with him, we will continue to overcome. In Revelation, it says, and they overcame him. Not they will overcome him. They overcame him. Satan's already defeated. The enemy has been defeated. The one that is trying to make you trip up, trying to make you fail, trying to make you miss your destiny, not walk out your calling, guess what? He's already defeated. And the only way he can beat you is if you surrender to him. The only way he can win is if we choose to give him that place in our life. The blood of Jesus has already been shed and has already paid the price, past, present, and future, for every sin that will ever be committed, and it's already won the victory over the enemy. And I just believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's why I can say to you, it's not a fair fight. Now, that word overcome in the Greek, where Paul references it, where he says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good, is the Greek word nikō. And it actually comes from the Greek word Nike. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Nike? And the reason that Nike is called Nike is because Nike is the Greek word for victory. And it was actually the name of the Greek goddess of victory. And athletes that were in Greece at the time, as they were training, they would actually worship and offer sacrifices to the goddess of Nike in hopes that she would help them be victorious in their athletic endeavors. Some of y'all are rethinking what you've been wearing on your feet for years, right? My goodness gracious, we've been giving money to a Greek goddess, right? I'm just gonna let you decide that on your own. I'm not saying you shouldn't wear Nike. I just want you to know where it comes from. Because this is the word, this is what Paul's saying. Do not give evil the victory in your life. But instead, decide, I'm gonna take victory over evil. Here's how he says to do it. Let's back up in Romans 12, verse 7. Excuse me, 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. So, if we're going to overcome evil, it starts with love. Now, it's okay to hate the evil, but it's not okay to hate people. We can hate the wrong, but we can't hate the doer of the wrong.
That's right.
If we want to actually overcome evil, we cannot view people as our target or as our enemy. The devil is the only enemy that you have in life. Everybody else is an opportunity to extend love. And it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Because it's easy to say, oh, I know we're called to love everybody. It's a lot harder to actually love everybody. When they look different than you, they talk different than you, they dress different than you, they vote different than you. But he said, let love be without hypocrisy. What does that mean? Let it be true. Let it be sincere. And then he said, hate what is evil, because we can't defeat it if we're loving it. Yeah. We can't overcome the world if we're in love with the ways of the world and the carnality of the world. So he says, hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. He said, be kind. Be affectionate to one another. Give honor to each other. Listen, I know that so often we just read these things like, oh, that's good, that's good, that's good. This is how we overcome evil. I'm not going to try to reinvent the wheel and show you this is what you actually need to do. No, this is what you actually need to do. If you want to overcome evil, do these things. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. You want to know how to overcome evil? Start letting other people have the right of way. Start being kind to one another. Stop always trying to put yourself first. Think about others before you think about yourself. Instead of thinking, how's this going to affect me? Think about, how is what I'm going to do affect other people? You know what I've realized the more that I work with people, and that's just what I do in being a pastor, is 100% of people are selfish. And 100% of people don't realize they're selfish because all they think about is themselves and not how what they do is going to affect other people. And so that just keeps them in the cycle of being more and more selfish. And all of us are selfish, but we've got to learn how to become selfless and esteem other people as better than ourselves. And if we don't do that, guess what? Evil will continue to overcome you because you're so focused on you that the enemy doesn't really even have to do anything to trip you up because you've already tripped up over yourself, okay? So he says, give honor to one another. You know what he also says? Be fervent in spirit. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Give generously. Listen, you want to know how you can overcome evil? Give generously. I'm not just talking about giving to the church. I'm talking about giving to your neighbors, to strangers, to the people in our community. Jesus, when he told the parable of the sheep and the goats, he says to the goats, I was hungry and you didn't even give me anything to eat. I was thirsty. You wouldn't even give me something to drink. I was naked. You wouldn't clothe me. I was abandoned without a home and you wouldn't take me in. I was in prison. You wouldn't even come visit me. And they're like, when? When were you in prison? When were you naked? When were you hungry? Because they weren't even looking for the opportunity to do what is good. But to the sheep, he said, I was naked. Guess what? You brought me some clothes. I was thirsty. You gave me a drink. I was hungry. You gave me food. I was alone and you took me in. I was in prison. You came and visited me. And they said, when? He said, as much as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. What if we lived our lives and we took the word of God for what it actually says and not just, oh, that's such a wonderful analogy. And then we just continue to live lives that are so self-consumed and focused on how we can make more money, how we can save more money, how we can get what we want, we can do what we want, we can be who we want to be, instead of saying, how can I make somebody else's life better? Because when I make their life better, I'm actually doing it to Jesus. So he said, give generously. He said, you know what? The people that persecute you, the people that do you wrong, the people that hate you, the people that treat you like trash at work and talk behind your back, guess what? Don't cuss them out. Don't even talk bad about them behind their back. Instead, bless them. Speak a blessing over their life. I'm going to challenge you this week to do something, okay? If you really want to overcome evil in your life, think of all the people in your life that have done you wrong. They've talked bad about you. They cheated you. They lied to you. They did things that made you mad. They let you down. They weren't there for you when you thought that they should be there for you. Make a list. Write them down and take that list and get somewhere by yourself and begin to say, so-and-so, I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. So-and-so, I speak provision over your life. You took from me, but instead I'm going to speak blessings back over your life. I'm going to bless you even though you have done me wrong. That is what someone that is an overcomer of evil does. Because you know what? When you will not bless those who have persecuted you, you've already let evil overcome you. Because if you won't forgive them, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And so you're already walking in the midst of evil. So find the people that have wronged you and begin to speak blessings over their life. If you can't bring yourself to do it, at least try and try again tomorrow and try again the next day until you can wholeheartedly say, I bless so-and-so. Yeah. And maybe you have to start saying it before you start meaning it, but at least start saying it. And eventually you will come to the place where you can mean what you say when you say, I'm going to bless them. He said, rejoice with those who rejoice. Your neighbor got a bass boat? Don't be covetous and jealous about it. Rejoice with them. They might take you out in it. I don't know. They might let you drive it. Who knows? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with the people that are brokenhearted. Don't just go, I'm glad it's them and not me. If you really want to overcome evil, weep with somebody when they're going through a difficulty, when they're walking through a trial. He said, be of the same mind toward one another. He said, stay humble. And he said, you know what? Don't repay evil for evil, but repay evil with good. Okay? Now, this is interesting because he says, for in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon their head. Now, all of the malicious and hateful people are like, okay, so that means that by doing good, I can actually repay vengeance on them, and they're going to get rained down with fire and brimstone, and they're going to get burned, and they're going to get hurt, and that's awesome. So I guess I'll do good so that I can see that take place in their life. That's not what he's talking about. In fact, in ancient cultures, when you were having a fire in your home, fire was a necessity. We don't think about this today because we walk into the kitchen and we turn on the stove, and it gets hot and we boil water or we cook chicken or whatever we want to do. We hit a few buttons on the stove and within 5 or 10 minutes we have an oven at 350 degrees. It wasn't like that back then. In order to have fire, you had to feed the fire, and they would use coals, and they would carry coals in buckets on top of their head to their house to start their fire. They would go to their neighbor and they would say, my fire went out. Do you have any coals that I can use? Because that is the best way to start fire instead of rubbing two sticks together. Listen, not only did they not have a stove, they didn't have lighters, they didn't have matches, those sorts of things. And so they would use somebody else's. If they went on vacation, they came home, or they went on a trip and they came home and their fire had gone out, they would go to their neighbor's house and they would say, do you have any coals that I can take back to my house to restart my fire? And if someone was generous enough, they would give them those coals. They would walk to their house, and they would restart their fire, and they would have what they needed for their family. And that's actually what Paul's talking about. He said, when you repay good with evil, you're not raining down harm on them. You're raining down good upon them. Because how are we going to overcome evil with evil? If the intent of our heart is they hurt me, so I want them to be hurt, then that's evil in and of itself. Our true desire should be, they don't have what they need, and so I'm going to repay the evil that they've committed against me with good, and good will come about. You see, evil is overcome by being eliminated. And so we don't want to have a continuum of evil. We want to have an end to evil. And that's why we repay evil things against us with good, because our good will cancel out the evil. Does that make sense? So he said, bless them when they curse you. As sobering as this sounds, I believe it's true and I believe it needs to be said. There are two options in life. Overcome evil or be overcome by evil. That's right. That's right. The gray area, the gray neutral spot cannot be a conflicting point in your life anymore. You need to choose. I'm either going to overcome evil and I need the help of God and I need the help of others to do it, or I'm going to be overcome by evil. There is no middle ground to stand upon. In fact, Jesus said in the book of Revelation, because you were neither hot nor cold, but rather you were lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. If you're mixing good with evil, you're already on the side of evil. We've got to choose our ground. Lukewarm living's got to be done away with. The ideology of being good and not doing good has got to die and be buried, because that's where we are as a nation. We have the idea that we're good, but we don't have any act of being good. And that's why faith without works is dead. You want to know why the people that you work with or that you live with in the community, they don't want anything to do with Jesus. They don't care anything about your religion. They don't care anything about your church. It's because they're sick and tired of people that have faith but don't do anything good. They claim to be good, but they don't want to do anything good. That's why I'm so proud of Pastors Jeff and Crystal and things like the outreach to wash people's car. And I believe that we should show up to those things and do those things, because in washing that person's car, think about it, it's like washing Jesus's car. We're doing good. You may look at it, oh, it's so silly, they're just going to get out there in the parking lot and wash cars. No, we're overcoming evil by doing good in the community. And that's how I choose to look at it. That as we do good, as we bless people in our community, we are overcoming evil. Listen, I'm all for the altar. I'm all for the move of God. I'm all for coming to church. But you know what I'm also for? Doing good works. Because I'm so tired of people that claim to be good but don't want to do anything good. Let's not be those types of people. Let's live with the belief and the knowledge we're going to overcome evil. How? Simply by doing good. It's a lot simpler than it sounds. We're just going to do good. And the more good we do, the less evil is present. This isn't doom and gloom. My heart, my goal today is to comfort and to encourage and to edify you into being someone that says, you know what? I'm going to join what it is that God is doing in this community, wants to do in and through my life, and I'm going to be somebody that does good. That's why I think about Roger and Belinda Wicks. The first Sunday of every month, they feed tons of people that would not have a meal if they did not open up their hearts and give out of the goodness of their heart and feed people. People in our community right there in Sylvania would go hungry if it were not for them. Guess what? They are doing it under the least of these. Who's the least of these? Every single one of us. We can't just look at people and go, oh, poor them. They don't have enough money for food. They're the least of these. No, we're all the least of these. And that's why when we do it to anybody around us, we can do it as unto Jesus. So I encourage you today, do what is good. And as you do so, evil will be driven back. Darkness will be eliminated in your life. My faith is sure and my confidence is at 1,000%. We will overcome. Can you stand to your feet with me today? Now, in order to overcome evil with good, first we have to not be doing evil things. So the first place, if you find yourself today in need of repentance, that's okay. The good news is we serve a God who always has open arms saying, you can come home, you can come back, you can change your mind, you can change your heart, you can change your purpose. If there's evil things that you've been doing, today by the blood of Jesus Christ, they can be gone and done away with, never to be remembered. Here's the beautiful thing about God. He chooses to remember them no more. They're gone. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you don't have to admit it to me, but right now in your heart, if you say, you know what, I've been doing some evil things. And listen, from time to time, we all do, because we're human. We sin, we fail, we mess up. But that's where the goodness and the grace and the kindness of God will lead us unto repentance, so that we can be converted in our mind and in our heart to walk with Him and to walk in Him. And so right now, just begin to repent if there's anything in your heart that's been evil. evil thoughts toward your spouse, evil intentions, evil just desires that have been inside of you, just begin to say, Lord, cleanse me, forgive me by your blood. Make me new. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would forgive us and cleanse every single heart today that desires to turn and to change from the evil so that we can do the good that you've called us and created us to do. And Lord, I state and declare in faith today, we will not be overcome by evil. And Lord, I pray to the one that has been struggling with looking at the news or at Facebook or at just the condition of the world, and they're wondering, is this how it's going to end? Is it just going to all implode? Does it even matter? Can there be a shift? Can there be a change? I believe that God can save an entire nation. I believe that God loved the world and he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to have the faith and the assurance and the belief that we will not be overcome with evil, but we will overcome evil with good. Lord, give us creative ideas and ways to do good in our community. How to be kind, how to be affectionate, how to be generous, how to bless those that persecute us, how to give in ways that maybe we didn't even know we had to give. God, we want to overcome evil, and I pray for faith to rise. And I thank you for the strength that you give, and help us to bind together in unity and to walk this out and to see a drastic change in our region, in our city, in this house. And Lord, I just want to say very quickly as we begin to close today, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for bringing us as far as you've brought us. Thank you for 3 years as the Well Fort Payne. Thank you that there has been growth, there has been advancement, there has been the driving back of darkness, and I declare today to be a new season, a new day. We are stepping into a new time, and I believe that God is for us and not against us, and the best is yet to come because we serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and there is nothing that you cannot do, but with you all things are possible. We trust you, and we love you today. In Jesus' name, would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and I declare you will not be overcome by evil, but you will overcome evil with good. Go with God today. Love you. Be blessed. Happy Father's Day. So good to see you today. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.